one point that I wanted to just bring up with you guys was actually something Zevi said that I keep thinking about from our February episode, Zevi of Seekers of Unity, Rabbi Zevi Slavin, in Jerusalem now also. He and I have been talking a little bit. Peace to him. Hope everybody's safe there. But he said something that I can't stop thinking about. He said people tend to think that our life is in front of us. Like, oh, I'll get to this point and this stuff. And it's like, no, man, this is your life. Like, this moment. And I am so, like, as much as I hate to admit it, I am, like, pretty ambitious. I feel like I'm always like, no, I'm not ambitious. I'm in the present moment. But I also am. I do have plans for the future. I'm trying to carve out, you know, a better, fuller reality for myself. I want to, you know, work somewhere as fulfilling as Maggie is, maybe someday. You know, more school, like Ryan's, you know, ambition is inspiring as hell. You know, the work Melina and Scott and I are doing in terms of, you know, building out this course company, like there's all these things in the future. And also, I have a son. I want to see him grow up and have a great life and all those things. Spend all this great time with family and friends. And as much as like those things are useful and lovely and worth cultivating, I really appreciate how he put that because it's such a nice anchor into the present moment. This is the Beware How Show, a spiritual podcast covering mindfulness, creativity, and the perennial philosophy. I'm Bob Peck, speaking with Scott Stanley, Ryan Padgett, Alina Kiriaki, and Maggie Burke. We're conscious creatives, informally closeted mystics, trying to unpack the inaccessible. Here at Beware How, we interview artists, activists, and teachers in the attempt to bring the spiritual wisdom of the mountaintop to the here and now. According to the mystics, the truth cannot be spoken, but we'll try to talk about it anyway. Hi. I'm Bob Peck, and this is the Beware How Show. Speaking regularly with Scott Stanley, Ryan Padgett, and Melina Kiriaki. The Beware How Show is a spiritual podcast on mindfulness, creativity, and the perennial philosophy. Today is Monday night, June 14th. It doesn't look like night in Texas because the sun is blasting the camera behind me. But we actually don't have a guest tonight. We have a new person joining the Beware How family, and her name is Maggie Burke. Welcome, Maggie.
Woo! Thanks, Bob. Happy to be here.
We're really glad to have you. And, you know, I think just context on this episode, it is a year in review. We have officially been live as Beware How Show for 13 months. We all went live in May last year. We've put out 26 episodes, and it's been crazy. It's been a wild time. It's almost cliche to say how like crazy things are. Like, it's a wild time, so I don't want to go into that.
That's what we're all saying now.
Right. But yeah, we just wanted to talk about kind of our favorite episodes, our favorite guests, what everyone is doing, and of course, introduce Maggie as well. And so let's actually start with that. Maggie, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go around telling more about kind of what each Beware How person has been doing creatively for the last 6 months when we've recorded three episodes. Maggie, you start. Tell us who you are.
Hello, I am Maggie Burke. I guess where to start? I met Bob my first day on the job at Facebook, and we connected over all things not Facebook, which was very fun. And then I guess my intro, who am I?
It's a really deep question, actually.
I know. I'm a daughter, I'm an older sister, I'm a partner, I have a dog. And yeah, why I'm excited to be here is to talk about things that I used to love talking about in bars and coffee shops, and the world is starting to open back up. Those conversations are picking up again with strangers as opposed to some of the friends and family that I've been calling and Zooming with over the last year. So yeah, excited to get into it, excited to learn more from y'all and just kind of explore all these different themes that are very interesting to me.
That sounds amazing. Yeah, we'll talk about your new role when we come back to you. How about that? You'll intro that after the rest of us. Let's start with Scott. Scott, you put out some music.
Yeah.
First album came out. It's called Victoria. Put it out May 30th and 9 tracks, and worked on them all last year, started working on them during the pandemic, and finished them up with the help of some friends, and was really happy with how it all came out, and
it's a beautiful 100%. Record. It's a beautiful, beautiful record.
Thank you.
Bobby loves it. My son really likes it. He's not an art critic though, so he's it's all just
I've
vibes.
Had a few friends telling me their kids are dancing to it too.
Yeah,
I'm
a totally. Fan of that.
Well, it's also it holds the show's intro theme song, which we should call out. Ready by Scott Stanley we've actually been playing it for a year, so you've been working on these tracks for some time, and it culminated. It is now manifest in form. So congratulations from taking it from, kind of the workshop for so long.
Yeah, thank you. And I should say too, Ryan Padgett made me some amazing videos for it that really made me happy when I saw them, because it was like the perfect little visual representation of all that work we had put into the music. So thanks, Ryan.
Absolutely. Amazing. I'm so happy to contribute.
Yeah, science fiction gospel, I think, is like the best way to describe it.
That's fair.
Me. Like, it's like, highway
you
music.
You just say it in 3 words. That's pretty great.
Soulful highway Texas science fiction. Enjoy.
It's quite the juxtaposition.
Click the link here to listen to Scott.
There are no links,
that.
But
yeah.
That's okay.
We're not going to do that. Melina, you go.
No, but actually, it's a great album. I just have to say that, even though.
Oh, thank you.
it's so amazing. You're so talented, and I've already told you that many a times, but it'll be coming many more times.
I appreciate that.
So true.
Of course.
Melina, you got a certification.
Yeah.
Craziness. It's funny because I feel like all of us are about to talk about these crazy changes in our lives, and it's all happened in the last couple of months. And so, and Mercury's in retrograde right now. I'm like, what's going on? All of these changes.
So many changes.
I did. it was May 23rd, to be exact. I've been doing my yoga teacher training. I started it before the pandemic, and then unfortunately cut it short and just restarted it back in 2021 in January of this year, and very excited to pursue that path and see where it takes me for yoga teaching and continuing. We're lifelong students, continuing the next round of studying in my 300 hour always, but it's a great accomplishment.
Yeah, so that was the 200 hour that you got, and the studio that you went to was interesting and unique because it had more of a contemplative element, would you say?
Yes. Any Austin people, my vinyasa practice, not saying my, it's literally called like MVP, my vinyasa practice. Beautiful studio, beautiful, beautiful teachers. It was one of the most amazing experiences, especially for those that are interested in more of the spiritual route and the contemplative route in yoga and yoga history and philosophy and just the whole lifestyle. So big recommendation.
Yeah, and like no disrespect to like the more gym yoga, like
absolutely not.
Tiesto
absolutely not
studios.
Those are great too.
They're great.
Those are great too.
But I'm pretentious spiritually and prefer Indian philosophy in the yoga class. And It sounds like MVP definitely does that, so I'm really glad.
Yeah, congrats on that. It's a huge deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate you. Thank you. So next episode, hopefully there'll be another update, or you know, Beware How podcast yoga sesh coming next.
Yes.
Sounds cool. Let's do it. Ryan, what's going on?
I know, you got some changes. Dying to hear about Ryan. What's going on?
Well, let's see. I mean, most of my energy lately has been focused on this big move to London in August. So it's a lot of, you know, just going through all my stuff, trying to sell and give away. And I'm a bit of a, I wouldn't call myself a hoarder, but I have a lot of hobbies and I have
hoarders
a lot of
don't
stuff.
Call themselves hoarders.
Yeah, I know. But I just have a lot of stuff. I have a lot of hobbies over the years, and I've just collected a lot of things. And so it feels really good. I've been in Austin for 10 years, and I am trying to get down to a really minimal set of belongings. I'll probably store a little bit of stuff here in Austin or with my partner, Kaylee. Her family lives in Canyon Lake, so we'll probably store some stuff there. But I'm trying to sell almost everything, which is like, it just feels so exciting. Yeah, just like really clean.
Era transition.
I did that last year for the move. Yeah.
I did that a month ago.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. So that's where honestly most of my energy has been. Other than that, quite a bit of travel, just camping as much as possible. Trying to see family. I just got back from a week in Arizona visiting Kaylee's mom, and we went camping in Prescott and Sedona, and wow, it was incredible. My third time to Sedona, first time to Prescott, that landscape is just, you know, it's something else. It really captures, for me anyways, really captures me in a way that many places don't. Just like really reconnected with the land and reconnected with, you know, the natural flow, especially like daylight, waking up at daylight, going to bed when the sun goes down, waking up when the sun comes up, which I'm a terrible kind of I stay up late.
Yeah, same.
I really try to get to bed early, but I don't know. It's typically been my quiet time is late at night. I'm really trying to shift that to my quiet time being like really early in the morning, but sometimes it works, sometimes
come
it doesn't.
Come on in.
Yeah, but no, this was so good. Like literally going to bed when the sun went down, waking up when the sun comes up. Also going over there, you know, we're an hour, I guess, maybe was it 2 hours? I don't remember, but time shifted. So it actually made it much easier to be waking up much earlier. And
primordial. Of you.
Yeah, yeah.
The sun's going down. I'm going to sleep.
For real. And we did that for like 4 days, just kind of in the desert and in the mountains. And I don't know. It was just so beautiful.
I can do wonders for the body and mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And just minimal. I didn't really have my phone with me much at all. And it was amazing. It was really, really good.
Maggie's been at White Sands a bunch. I'm just going to interrupt you for her.
Cool.
Well, this whole time I've been just nodding my head being like, yes, Ryan, I totally agree with so much of that. I did go to White Sands recently, and we woke up before the sunrise.
Cool.
To be on the sand dunes as the sun was rising.
Wow.
Which sounded like a crazy thing to go and do, waking up at 3 and then hiking up sand dunes for like
totally.
An hour just to watch it. But it was, I don't know, to me, super worth it. And I'm also very much a nighttime person and used to kind of, I don't know, beat myself up for not wanting to wake up early or like going on camping trips and feeling that sensation of like, oh, how nice is this? But it's just in a day-to-day life, for me at least, not as sustainable. Like
sure.
I when I find my flow and feel inspired to do a bunch of work, I just do it now to try not to judge myself for
exactly
what time it is or if it's different working hours, as long as it gets done. And as long as, you know, the things that I'm doing for myself happen, like, I don't know, I used to try and meditate in the morning and be like, wake up, do this first, it'll set. But I never have done anything consistently
Beds are amazing. They feel so good. Why would you ever leave them?
I know, to go and sit somewhere else and just think or not think.
But yeah, so that trip was like really beautiful, really amazing reset. And what else? Oh, one night in particular was incredible. It was pretty cold actually in Prescott at night. In the days it was kind of warm, but at night it got pretty cold the first two nights. Third night was in Sedona, and it happened to be the new moon that night, and there was no clouds in the sky. And it was much warmer that night. And this tent I have from REI that I love, it's like the whole thing is like just a mesh tent that's like completely, you can see through all of it, but then it has the rainfly that goes on top of it. I've always slept with it with the rainfly on because it just was never the right temperature. This was the perfect temperature, and it was a new moon, and we were in Sedona on BLM land. Just incredible stars. I literally got to sleep under the stars. Like, literally felt like I was just sleeping under the stars. And I've never experienced that before. I remember, like, when I was young, you know, sleeping on the trampoline a couple times with my sisters under the stars, which was really nice. But it's been so long. And of course, in a place where, like, the stars are, like, really epic. And it was just amazing. Just totally mind-blowing. And then waking up as the sun is coming up over the mountains, the light is like just coming up, and I'm like, I'm opening my eyes, and I just kind of like tilt my head up, and I can just see everything. Oh my God. It was amazing. Really, really cool. So, yeah. And then a trip to Michigan to see my family, camping again over 4th of July weekend. And then a final trip, the second 2 weeks of July, which will be, kind of our spiritual group road trip workshop, that'll be from Austin to Santa Fe to Moab to Tetons to Yellowstone and back over 2 weeks, doing our kind of spiritual group sessions every night. So
every night, wow.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So you're fitting it in pretty heavy before crossing the Atlantic.
Definitely, yeah. I don't think it was ever intended this way, but it kind of all unfolded that way, and I'm feeling really excited about it. And then taking the whole month off of August just to kind of prepare my final departure.
Yeah, tell me why are you moving to London?
Tell us about the school. Yeah.
Why are you moving to London? Like,
totally. So I'm going to grad school, Kaylee's going to grad school as well. So both of us going to go tackle that together. The program is a year and 3 months, but likely we'll be there for, I don't know, probably 2 years at least. And who knows? Both of us are super open to staying in Europe as long as we want, and hopefully traveling as much as possible. You know, we really want to get to hopefully a trip to India, and hopefully a little bit of Southeast Asia, other parts of Southeast Asia, and just travel as much as possible. So, but anyways, going to school, it'll be a Master's of Science in Creative Computing, essentially just computer programming, but kind of graphics, computer graphics focused, and more of the kind of art from an artistic lens. So building software for art installations is really what I'm
going to do. It's a futurology art creativity pioneer school that
sounds like the coolest
nobody
ever
goes to unless you're a prodigy and a fascinating person.
I mean, you're probably going to meet really great people, like-minded people in your network too. I'm building
absolutely
that.
Yeah, I'm really excited. The program's actually really small. They only accept, I think it's like 30 students into the program every year. So I'm like really excited for that. It's going to be a really tight-knit group. And the professors that are leading the group are amazing. Big fans of them. Been following their work for a while. And
cool.
So yeah, it's very, very exciting.
I know, you just brushed over like, oh, they only accept 30 people globally in the program, and I'm like one of the 30 people. Like,
no big deal.
Brushed over that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Didn't they ask you to come or something crazy? Yeah, this guy is a genius.
What was that?
They recruited you.
Not necessarily.
I know that was the other school. There was like two schools that you were considering or something.
Yeah, there were two schools I applied to, and I actually went. I flew to London in February of last year, right before everything shut down, to go visit the schools and talk with the professors. And I think based on my work history and portfolio, you know, a lot of grad students are coming in right out of undergrad, and I think I'm a little bit different. I'm a bit older and I've been in the industry for a while. I have a pretty solid portfolio. And so it was, both schools were really excited about, you know,
you're not 20.
Coming. Yeah. Yep. Yep. And you know, I'm one of, you know, one thing I really, really has always been a goal of mine. I've always felt strongly that eventually I'd like to, probably the end of my career will be teaching. I'd really like to teach at the university level. And so there is a potential of me continuing on to do my PhD after this, which would be really awesome. And I'd love to do that under those professors there and maybe even teach at that university. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's University of the Arts at London, by the way.
Well, we'll have to come in London. Have some fish and chips and ride some double-decker buses with you.
Absolutely.
Love London.
Please. Great. I love visitors.
Wear like Big Bend hats. It's excited for you, sincerely. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Sharing. I'll just share briefly before passing to Maggie. I'm finishing a book, which I haven't really told anyone besides you guys. Now I'm telling our listeners here. It's been about 5 years on and off. This last year has been pretty focused. I started writing spiritual nonfiction in about 2017, 2016. And didn't know what I was doing for a few years. And started to slow down and corporate world took over. But I found what I wanted to say. And this show has certainly helped with that. So absolutely grateful for you guys, grateful for the Mindfulness at community at Facebook, and just kind of everybody in my circles of like conscious collaborators and creators that have directly or indirectly edged me towards coming back to this project. The title is Original Sin is a Lie. And the subtitle is And Other Truths from the Spiritual Buffet Line. So the main title is a bit scary, but the subtitle hopefully helps with some of the levity and makes it a little more approachable. But I'm really excited. Elizabeth AI, who was a guest on the show, is working on the cover and helping me with some of the formatting and everything. So it should be out here shortly. I will say by the end of this year, 2021, expect Original Sin is a Lie to be live. You guys will get links very soon.
I'm excited.
But yeah, thanks so much. It's an unraveling of institutions. It's a focus on mystic philosophy, esoteric and exoteric, practical stuff, anecdotes, and kind of just stories from other teachers that I'm big fans of. So excited to share that with you guys and everybody, really. Check it out when it comes.
Amazing.
It'll probably be on originalsinisalive.com because I have that website now.
Yeah, you do.
That is amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yes,
thanks,
congratulations.
Bubba. Thanks, guys.
It's hard to finish a book.
Well, we'll see what y'all have to say after you read it. I appreciate your nice thoughts now, but I'll expect some notes. But yeah, really, really glad to share. And I think if you follow me on Medium, I've been posting there. I actually joined a publication called New Earth Consciousness. I'm a writer for with those guys, and you know, kind of what I was telling people is like, if you didn't think I'm a hippie, now it's confirmed I'm a writer for New Earth Consciousness on Medium. So anyway, it's kind of, you know, this book is definitely has writing samples are there live. I've also built a deck in my backyard, which I'm not going to go into great detail on, but I did tell people all spring, coworkers and clients, that I'm building a deck and I'm really excited. And everyone was like a sales deck? Like what?
You gotta say pool deck, because you said deck and I was like, are you about to give us like slides?
Like a PowerPoint presentation?
I thought pitching. You meant like a pitch deck for your
yeah.
book.
Yeah, yes. Pitch deck. His latest business.
Yeah, I built a deck. Yeah, no, it's okay. a wooden
he means a pool
deck,
like
in
a
the
legitimate.
Backyard.
Yeah.
There's nine slabs of concrete that are posts and 2x6s and 1x6s. And yeah, it surrounds a stock tank. It really upgraded our hippie hot tub.
Yeah, the stock tanks, man, it's all the rage.
So
it
yeah.
looks great.
It really
it's like
is
like a little oasis.
Yeah, we'll have to have an episode on the deck maybe.
yes.
So those are my updates: book and deck. One syllable nouns for me. nice. And we should tease if you guys are ready. In the meantime, while Beware How has been really great to work with this crew. I've wanted to do online courses for a while in the same spirit as the book, in the same spirit as the podcast. You know, how can we spread these teachings to people, particularly youth is the focus of this new venture. And so Scott, Melina, and I have founded a new company. It's called the Awareness and Compassion Project. And it is designed to hold courses on mindfulness, on comparative religion, philosophy, and kind of from the practical to the conceptual. So pretty early stages, but the LLC is formed. We officially created 3 jobs in the state of Texas numbers that they'll report.
And writing lots of content.
And we're writing a lot of content, and I'm going to be editing for 9 years. But we're really excited. So a lot of things going on, a lot of creative things going on around here, which is why, you know, our last episode was Aaron Jackson, who I'd love to touch on here towards the end of this episode, kind of some highlights from our favorites. But he was 2 months ago, so we took another month off. There's just a lot going on, as you guys can understand. But all that said, Maggie, tell us about your new org, because it makes me really happy and gives me hope for planet Earth.
Well, that's so kind and same. Before I launch into it, though, I just love the amount of manifesting that's happening in this group. It sounds like some really long-term projects have either, you know, just completed, are starting to be realized or be actualized and shared. Like, even Ryan, hearing that you want to do a PhD, like, I love that we have the space to hear those types of goals, even if they might be further out, even if like you're just starting this new thing that's big in and of itself. Like that's, yeah, just appreciate all the space for that and how
absolutely.
Isn't it amazing in the past year, you know, being at home, having time to reflect, how a lot of creating has happened in all of that. It's just, I don't know, something I'm seeing a lot is people, you know, not wanting to go back to their same job, not wanting to, you know, go back to normal. And I think there's a really healthy element in there, silver lining maybe with all the other, you know, trauma and tragedy that has come from the pandemic. So
totally.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. I'll just say, like, you know, I think there was like 2 camps of like really relaxing and slowing down and really being productive and creative. And like, I think fair to say, based on the freaking recap we just went through, we were more kind of on the creative producting side, but also like zero judgment to the relax and reflect folks from this past year. Like, just society was moving so quickly that I think it was very useful, you know, despite obviously the immense emotional pain and fear and all those things that you are acknowledging. You know, I think it is actually very useful to, you know, be still and relax and read the book in the hammock and, you know, not get too worried about not having created something, you know. It's important to embrace and appreciate the recharge nature as well. I think, I took it as an opportunity to be creative, and you know, I think hopefully it served everyone in the highest way that makes the most sense for them.
I will say this past year was probably the most chill and slow year I've had in a while. Even though I got some good stuff done, that has been amazing to kind of, I guess, reset the pace a little bit. And I've been so cautious on trying to put too much work on my plate lately so that I don't fall back into that. And it's just been really beautiful having that, I guess, reframe of mind. So it, for me, I kind of oscillated between those two over the last year, but
totally.
Yeah, I think you kind of need to reflect in order to create, or at least that's what my experience has been. And also honor to all of the things that were created that will never like be published, that will never like serve anyone else, sort of thing. It still does in a way, you know, even if you take time to reflect for yourself, that's creating space and something is coming of that, even if it might not be something.
Well, the non-dualists say there's no other people, so it's all for yourself anyway.
True. Well, I guess in my past year, I definitely have reflected quite a bit and changed quite a bit, which has been like a whirlwind and a lot of like pain followed by fun, I guess. I left my previous job with no real plan. And by that, I mean, I knew I wanted to do something more mission-driven, get back to my roots of international nonprofit work. I had a few things that I was thinking about, but the same day that I handed in my 2-week notice, had told somebody earlier that day that kind of vision for myself and what I was working towards, the CEO of a nonprofit called New Story emailed her, said, if you know anybody who enjoys the fast-paced environment of tech, is frustrated by traditional nonprofits and wants to do mission-driven work, we're hiring. And it was almost verbatim what I had said to her about like 2 hours before. So she replied all, included me. I started the interview process. It took exactly the amount of time that my benefits from Facebook were. So 3 months I was covered. 3 months was the interview process, accepted and started like right when that was over, which was the perfect
amount of time. What a coincidence.
I know, isn't it crazy?
This is synchronicity. I'm joking about coincidence. All it was of it. Perfectly alignment of the universe.
Yes. And also should be noted that the same individual who the CEO emailed had given me a book, right? I took a leave of absence from work after a family member unexpectedly passed away. And it was about 2 months. I had been asking her for career advice and kind of like life advice. And she was like, I don't have the time to meet with you, but any advice I would give you would be in this book. And it's called The Surrender Experiment. And it's all about
like
giving yourself, is whatever plan you think you have, there's something bigger for you. And I don't think that I would have believed it, or like I don't think I would have ever left a job like Facebook without having something lined up, without that reading and experience.
Love it.
And I'm also connecting all of these dots looking back. At the time, it was just kind of like a lot was happening, and I was like deep in grief. Knew I wanted to change. Knew I wanted to do something different. And then the same person who set me on the path gave me this opportunity, and New Story rocks. It is like, I had so many hesitations about going back to international nonprofit work because you know, of the white savior complex because of the lack of transparency in a lot of traditional nonprofits, a lot of great intentions and poor execution. And none of that is true at News Story. Like, and I kind of waited the first month to see like, okay, when is that their shoe going to drop? When am I going to learn more? When is that, when am I going to be like disillusioned by all of this? But I've seen it now, the full donation process from like giving your money to it, building a house. I've like seen the family stories and News Story, they pioneer solutions to end global homelessness. They're probably most well known for the first 3D printed community. But I really think some of the best innovations are like how closely they partner locally. They work in 4 different countries. We're going to be doing a lot of work in Mexico for the next few years. And it's just amazing to be in the role that I'm in, which is strategic tech partnerships. So looking at my history of working at Facebook, at Microsoft, I was just on the phone earlier this week with someone and she was like, Maggie, do you remember the last time that we talked? And I was like, no, it was probably like 2-3 years ago. And she was like, yeah, I was asking you about working at Microsoft and she didn't work at Microsoft yet. And you were telling me about how you wanted to get into nonprofit work again. And now it's like years later, she's at the headquarters in Redmond and I'm at a nonprofit and we're talking about like what we can do
amazing
with our new roles. And just, yeah, so it all so it all amazing. Works out. News Story rocks. I'm incredibly grateful. And yeah, it's really nice to be doing work that I'm, you know, curious about, passionate about, and that I have no doubt that it's good for the world, which is something I was really looking for.
I love what you shared too. I mean, I love so much about what you shared, but the hyper awareness that they have about not coming in and just like that. We had talked about this, about that's how the Save a Foundation works, the Ram Dass nonprofit, where they would go to, it was Nepal, where they were trying to cure blindness. Basically, it was a, one surgery was $10. And instead of going in and bringing in a bunch of American doctors, they would train Nepali optometrists and eye surgeons and enable the infrastructure locally. And so just that level of like awareness around how to fix something the right way, it's extremely refreshing. So I'm just so
thrilled. I can give 2 examples that make me so happy and what made me go from like, okay, this is like a good story, news story, to like, oh, it's actually happening. And the idea of like building homes that people want to live in, 2 design elements of one of our most recent communities is they were the families who were part of like being surveyed, part of the inclusive design. They were like building things on construction paper together, talking about what's important. And something that's super important to them is having a flat roof so that, you know, if they have a home and if they have a family that has 4 people right now, but they know that they're going to have another kid, they know that their family members are going to move in with them because it's a safer environment, like they want the ability to build up. Wow. Because this is going to be their home forever, you know, something that is going to have to move with them. And there were a lot of construction partners that we were talking to that pushed back against it for, you know, different structural reasons, different reasons, whatever. But making sure that they had a flat roof and a big window that you could pull across in the front, which there were some windows that, you know, went open or it just went a different way. But the reason why they wanted it is because they could sell things out of their, you know, front window. And if they're in a full community full of safe homes where people are like safe, secure, able to save for the first time, able to like not worry about safety for the first time, then they knew that, you know, most of the like food that they're selling, they could just sell from their house and they could just open up their window. And then like the amount of business opportunity with that super small window, like seeing the commitment from News Story to say like, no, this window won't work, is a detail that probably isn't important to, you know, a lot of people, but since it was important to them, everybody made sure it happened. And those 2 things, it's like, I would have never thought of that. If you told me to build somebody a house who needed a house, I would, you know, just make something that I thought someone wanted, but that's not how we operate at all, which is really cool to see.
Incredible.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Check it out at newstorycharity.org.
Yeah.
Wow. That's beautiful.
It's incredible, and please keep us posted kind of throughout, because your journey just begins there, and we want more stories as we go. Speaking on behalf of the team, yeah. Exactly. Well, this is going to be a shorter episode because we don't have a guest and we don't really have a topic. We're just mostly doing a year in review and a status check. We'll have guests. We have already guests that have been saying yes to me for the rest of this year, and you know, excited to get this all the momentum of Maggie joining, of kind of everyone's first half of the year chaos starting to calm slightly. Excited for this this transition into that. Just wanted to talk a little bit kind of on the kind of last third together of favorite episodes, favorite guests in the year in review, favorite moments from the show. I can start while you guys maybe think of some, but I mean, I think just meeting the really fascinating people has been for the biggest kind of win for me as an individual. People I already know, Sara Bolani, Shane Renfro, Marie Young, but we got to meet Santiago Rodriguez Tarditi, who is like becoming this massive environmental activist and like drug legalization activist. He's amazing, follow him. Marcelo, Visual Mantra, Jen, yeah. Ryan's teacher, gave us an amazing episode. Superman, I'm like blasting Superman songs, driving around, listening to native hip hop.
We just drove through his reservation last week.
Nice, amazing.
Wow.
Absoluke Crow Reservation.
Yes, so that's so cool. You better have been playing prayer group song.
Some Superman.
Yeah, exactly. Elizabeth AI, who is not only doing the cover for Original Sin is a Lie, but also has shirts in our shirt shop that are basically the primary sellers now. She's replaced.
Yeah. She's awesome.
The vast majority of the other designs, because that's how good she is. Really, I think one point that I wanted to just bring up with you guys was actually something Zevi said that I keep thinking about from our February episode. Zevi of Seekers of Unity, Rabbi Zevi Slavin, in Jerusalem now also. He and I have been talking a little bit. Peace to him. Hope everybody's safe there. But he said something that I can't stop thinking about. He said people tend to think that our life is in front of us. Like, oh, I'll get to this point and this stuff. And it's like, no, man, this is your life. Like, this moment. And I am so, like, as much as I hate to admit it, I am, like, pretty ambitious. I feel like I'm always like, no, I'm not ambitious. I'm in the present moment. But I also am. I do have plans for the future. I'm trying to carve out, you know, a better, fuller reality for myself. I want to, you know, work somewhere as fulfilling as Maggie is, maybe someday. You know, more school, like Ryan's, you know, ambition is inspiring as hell. You know, the work Melina and Scott and I are doing in terms of, you know, building out this course company, like there's all these things in the future. And also, I have a son. I want to see him grow up and have a great life and all those things. Spend all this great time with family and friends. And as much as like those things are useful and lovely and worth cultivating, I really appreciate how he put that, because it's such a nice anchor into the present moment, which is, you know, as Eckhart, somewhat cliche, you know, is now associated with the power of now, and like the present moment is really all there is. And so just trying to be more grateful as this rock hurtles through the cosmos.
Zevi was great. He had, I feel like I've followed so many, I follow so many of our guests now, including like Zevi, Santiago, Marcella, like I just, and it's been so cool to gain that new little community. And that's maybe been my favorite part, is just like feeling like it's expanding my you know, starting with our conversations that get recorded, it's like, that's not the end of it. We keep, you know, we keep having like chats and just seeing each other's content even has been amazing.
Totally. Yeah. The relationship just begins almost in a way, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus 100 to that, Scott. I think my favorite part about having these talks is just what happens afterwards and the connection you keep with them and following them and just seeing what their life is and even reconnecting with them. Yeah. I've got to say, Marcelo and Superman were just so memorable for me. Those were just really great episodes, and it's just such a... It was so cool just to hear Marcelo with what he's working with visual mantra art, but then also how he was, you know, handling the pandemic. We were still like very much in the midst of that. And same with Superman, but just getting to know them on a personal level and what their day to day is, as well as what fires them up and lights them up and why we wanted them on the show, is just probably the best part. And so I had to plus one that.
So true. I can't help but call out Melina when Marcelo was explaining, I think it was Yumi and Ryan on that episode, the deconstruction, you know, like that's his whole piece. And he was like, COVID,
the definitions.
Co, and Vita, co means together, and Vita means life. And Melina's jaw literally just like hit the ground. And mine too. I mean, he was very wise and profound, and just a joy. Great, great guy. Big fan.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have him back.
I'm trying to think of, I guess I didn't call anyone out specifically, but like if I had to, I loved, you didn't mention Marie Young, is her name, right?
Yes. Loved
her little, just like little practical tips. And it has to do with the content we're making. It's like more kid focused, but it connected to me too. It was like just her simple, what was it? Sitting and imagining that your tail is growing to the center of the earth.
Oh yeah, that's Heather.
I still think about, I'm sorry. I meant Heather.
Marie did the vagus nerve breathing. Yeah, but
yes.
They're both mindful teacher mentors.
Yeah, I think that's
like
why I was confusing
the same
them.
Time frame.
Right, and I connected with both of them, actually. I remember that, because they both, just that simple technique, it still sticks with me. And then also I have to shout out Aaron Conrado, Bob and I's childhood friend that we had a guest on, and also just because I'm a big sci-fi
Dr. Conrado.
Dr. Conrado. So it was amazing to have an old friend talk to us about science. So I had to mention those.
Totally. State Department. I'm glad you mentioned Akon.
I'm looking at our podcast list in the app, just kind of scrolling through and looking at the names, and so many good episodes in here, so many good moments. I remember being with Sarah Bawani being our first, after we had done 9 episodes. I was just so excited to be talking to a guest. I just remember it being so refreshing, and like to hear, you know, someone else's perspective who is is very different than I am. And,
besides mine.
and I just remember being really inspired after that talk. And then what else? Jason Ivey. That one was amazing as well. Man, that guy is awesome. Super inspiring. Impressive. Yeah, just hearing his... I just remember him being so passionate and so creative, and I don't know, just like, you know, such an optimist on all levels, and just really inspiring, his like creative output, just like kind of always creating. Jeremy Hoffeld, man, yes. I remember like basically being in tears after that one. That was incredible, especially just, you know, all of his connections to Ram Dass and all the beautiful moments we had in that conversation. I remember there being a few moments that were just kind of mind-blowing, synchronicities, and you know, it's been amazing seeing his work on Instagram. You know, he posts all the time, and all the stuff he's been posting, teaching people how to paint, which is really, really cool.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. Follow at Jeremy Hoffeld because you'll be blown away. You'll get creative tips. He's doing like yoga creativity series right now. It's genius. And I'm really glad you mentioned that because, one thing that I think about that he said too about Ram Dass, which I had never heard in the 1,000 and 5,000 hours I've listened to Ram Dass or and people about him and all that. He said he was a master of eye contact.
Oh yeah.
In his description of Ram Dass, which is such an interesting portrayal that adds such like guru gravity to to Baba, you know, on his way out. Master of eye contact. I really love that. Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's great. Nice. Let's see what else. Marcelo obviously was amazing, good friend of mine. I've done a lot of collaborative works with him in Art Island, and so just to get him on and to hear about his process, just amazing. Love that guy. Really enjoyed Elizabeth AI. I remember being really inspired by her and just kind of her journey, like kind of fell into what she's doing and was just kind of just following her heart without any knowing what was gonna happen. You know, an impromptu move to New York, actually. Worked out really well for her, and just hearing her stories was really, really great. And then last but not least, probably because I'm biased, is Jennifer Miller. Obviously.
Yeah, she was amazing.
Episode with her was really great. Just for me, it was so special because really, you know, I'd say the beginning of my spiritual practice and my journey really started when I moved to Austin and when I met Bob. I met Bob my third day in Austin, 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago. And just a couple months prior to that, I had read Be Here Now, which totally cracked something open in me and shifted everything. I all of a sudden didn't care about anything else. I was like, this is so fascinating to me and I need to know more. And so having a conversation with Bob and then with Jennifer, who has been just a huge, huge, huge part of my my spiritual practice over the last 2 years, and also in my physical healing with my sickness. And just so to having the two of you together, and then along with Melina and Scott, was just like this like collision of worlds that was so totally important to me, and like, you know, were such pillars in my life. So I remember being basically in tears that whole episode too. And that's a little recap.
Special
on all my
for
favorites.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's great. That's so great. Appreciate that. And I definitely feel the specialness throughout. And, you know, I think these connections that we made and those types of collisions have been really valuable. And really the reason that this show makes sense to keep going, you know, it's not easy wrangling 5 schedules, 5 plus guests. So I think just for the record, people are going to be kind of in and out as we go. I'll be here every time because someone has to turn the lights on and press record. But you guys, everyone has busy lives. And so, you know, we'll be a rotating cast of characters. But hey, we're about to hit 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. We're like a couple dozen away. Nice. Maybe we'll be there by the time this is published. So we're blowing up, basically, is what I'm saying. You know, we've had some wins, some hiccups. Affiliate marketing didn't work out. by the way, we didn't sell anything that we referred people to. But we have, most importantly, like you guys have all been reflecting, we've really made some amazing connections with these people and each other. I think we've explored some really cool topics also. Even without the guests, we had some good ones in the early half dozen or so. And, you know, I think kind of my vision, and we're a democracy here, but even though this is kind of my proj, we're all contributors, is to have kind of 2 or 3 guests and then a non-guest ep, kind of so we can go a bit deeper into a topic with 4 or 5 of us. Some of the guests that have been confirmed, I think just kind of to get this out there is, you know, teachers, artists, and activists is who we're obtaining. So, you know, if you're one of those and you want to talk to us, reach out. It could be cool. We'll definitely consider it. And some of the people who have confirmed, I'm happy to share that, speaking of Jeremy Hoffeld and the Ram Dass community, I've been in touch with Sita Ram Dass, who was a caretaker of Ram Dass for many years, who's written a book. He's a younger guy. He's around our age, and he's agreed to come on the show.
Amazing. Built,
so super exciting. We'll get more Ram Dass stories on the Bee Warehouse show. Bill Baird is a musician in Austin who is a pretty fascinating creative mind.
Nice.
Many more people. I won't read the whole list, but we have an exciting amount of guests already kind of signing up for the future. We're also even going to go on another podcast. Our friend Kelly Steckler is a yoga teacher and mindfulness teacher. She has a great podcast called Humanium, and she wants to interview all of us. So it'll be a bunch of people on her show in the next month or two. So a lot of exciting things coming out. I think before we jump today, to be formulaic here, what's everybody reading? That's become our sign-off is some literature piece. And I'll start with a thank you, which is Maggie Burke actually shipped me the new Young Pueblo book. So I'm just jumping into Clarity and Connection.
Nice.
I was going to bring it up too.
yeah, really appreciate it. I'm finishing a Yogananda biography. Not surprisingly, you know, autobiography. We had an episode, actually. I enjoyed that episode too, of Yogananda, his own book, finishing a biography about him. But excited for Young Pueblo. Always got a big list of spiritual stuff. So anyway, thanks for that. He's great, by the way, too.
Love him. Yes. Yeah. And it's the title is called Clarity and Connection. And I just feel like coming out of the year that we've all just had, the amount of reflection that he does, he was actually the first person to really introduce me to the concept of going on a meditation retreat, which is something I haven't been able to do, mostly because of logistics and probably some prioritization, but definitely got me started on a path. And that was a conversation at South By, you know, one of the most unlikely places for like what ended up to me being a really important turning point. So always grateful to him.
He credits that for kind of transforming him. Like he went on one and was like, oh wow, it kind of like birthed his poetic process.
He wasn't a writer before.
Wow.
I think the moment that you take some time to step back, reconnect with your values, understand who you are, like surprising things reveal themselves. And like, thank goodness that we have him as a writer in this world, you know?
Totally. He's spoken to Facebook, Mindfulness.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. What was the name of that book originally from Michael Singer that you and Ryan were talking about at the beginning of the episode?
Oh, The Surrender Experiment.
The Surrender Experiment.
Highly recommend. And I actually recommended it to a new friend at New Story recently, and she recommended... Oh, shoot, what's the title? I'm blanking.
Return to Love.
Return to Love, thank you. I just started reading it. And she had just finished reading it. And so we were talking about, you know, things that have been pivotal and important. And she mentioned this one. And I'm really excited to get into it because I haven't. The course, it's a reflection on the Course of Miracles. So.
Nice. Yeah. So, yeah, if you guys, I don't think I shared that with you guys, that Maggie's new coworker happened to lend her a Marianne Williamson's international bestseller. Based on the teachings of A Course in Miracles, the book I've been blabbing about for 10 years.
Right before I agreed to this whole, like, it's all very like serendipitous and lovely, and I'm just blown with it.
There are no coincidences.
Very true.
Yeah. Also by Michael Singer is The Untethered Soul. That's his, I think, his first book and kind of his big one. Yeah. That book was pivotal for me. Love that book so much. And I actually, it's one of the books I gift a lot. I've gifted it to two people this year so far. It is a great, great book.
He's one of the clearest non-dualists to me.
Totally, yeah.
He's an Advaitin, even though he doesn't really claim to be. He's basically a Sri Ramana type of guy. It's all about noticing the thought. Once you can break free and realize your thoughts aren't yourself, that's the most power you can ever reclaim. You know, he's so good. He also wrote that book. Maybe you guys don't know this, or maybe you do, but he wrote that book while he was in a vicious lawsuit as the CEO of a company.
They talk about it in
The Surrender Experiment.
The Untethered Soul. Ooh. And I was like, that's funny.
Yeah.
What I think about still when I meditate, and this is from a like kids meditation class that I was helping to facilitate, was we were blowing bubbles, and we would just breathe in, breathe out, and when we had a thought, just pop it. There it is, that's the thought, just pop the bubble. And I will still be there's a thought.
We're all using kid techniques, apparently. Yeah,
for the inner keep child and all of us. Yeah,
yeah, keep it they simple, work. You know.
We're all kids.
Melina, what are you reading? Awesome.
Well, I just wrote down those two books because, I mean, most recently I have not been able to read. I just finished No Mud, No Lotus again. Thich Nhat Hanh, yes, and. Really, I know this sounds, I know you're going to say you've already said this, but I do want to set an intention to restart my journey with A Course in Miracles. I know that's not a book that you sit down and read for a long period of time, but I am setting that intention on this episode right now.
Yes.
Love it. Let it be
known. At least
known.
On the daily. Bob, have next you... week. So did you start it?
Yeah. have you read Disappearance yet?
I haven't. No.
That's a great place to start. It's much less intimidating than A Course in Miracles, Disappearance of the Universe.
Is that also just for my own understanding? Is that because A Course in Miracles is one a day? Is it same situation, or could I sit and read Disappearance? Nah.
It's more of a primer on A Course in Miracles. It's a good place to start.
It's incredibly more accessible than A Course, it does legitimize A Course as check it out after you get the intro. Mm-hmm. It's pretty esoteric. It's not for everyone because of the very premise, which we'll let you find out on your own. Maybe we'll come back to it. But transformational stuff. And it's non-dual. It's non-duality. So it's definitely a theme of the show.
Nice. For me, I've been driving for the last week. We've been traveling out of the country, so lots of audiobooks. But we did I've also been reading The World's Religions, Huston Smith, is that the name? That's been fascinating. He's a great writer, and been doing that as reading that as part of research for the education course we've been writing. But yeah, other than that, I read a lot of fiction. So lately, this Shadow and Bone series has been pretty great. I don't know if they have a Netflix thing now, but it's pretty awesome. The Grishaverse is awesome. What else? We listened to Braving the Wilderness, Brene Brown. That was fantastic.
Enjoyed that. Queen.
So good. That was a pandemic read for me, and it was such a good, reminder, affirmation, all of the above, encouragement.
I needed to hear a lot of the things said in that book, especially just about being able to be yourself in a room of people who don't necessarily want you to be yourself, and how powerful that can be, and especially now that I'm like everyone else, so bad at so rusty with social, regular social
at
time
being,
so
in anyway, no,
being in a room
you've always been. No, I'm just kidding.
I know. No, it's true. It's ongoing. That just made it worse.
Don't blame the pandemic, Scott.
Yeah, it just heightened the anxiety.
Is that everybody?
I'll go.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
So Let's see. I too have not. I don't read a whole lot. I read a little bit here and there. I listen to a lot of stuff. I listen to a lot of podcasts and audiobooks. So what's in my current rotation? Always Tara Brach. Her podcast is just amazing. That's like a weekly thing for me. So grounding, and she just always helps me get into a really soft and tender place. So big fan of her podcast and all of her books too. I've read a few of her books, Radical Acceptance, and I forget the other one.
She's amazing.
But yeah, and then also recently played in my Audible app is The Places That Scare You by Pema Chodron. It's been really, yeah, really, really love that one. It's been recommended to me a lot. So yeah, I love that. And then, let's see, traveling lately, I bring this little book with me. It's called The Little Book of Philosophy. And it's like this just little book with like three pages on every single major philosopher, from like beginning to end. And, it's great. It's a great little read. I pick it up and just, you know, read about philosophers trying to just understand more about all the different, you know, great philosophers out there. So that's been like kind of my travel book. And then
You can just drop in a reference to Diogenes and
yeah, I know, right? Yeah,
well, that's like the Kantian logic of
yeah. One book that so Kaylee's mom, we were visiting in Arizona, and I don't know how long ago, I guess three, maybe 4 years ago, she completed her vows to be a Buddhist monk. And so she's been a monk for the last few years, and was really great hanging out with her and hearing about what she's reading. And she was reading passages to us from this book that was amazing. It was just really lovely. And I actually have this author. I have one of his other books, Daniel Ladinsky. He did a book that's all Hafiz poems. Mm. That I love. But she was reading this other one that he did called Love Poems from God, 12 Sacred Voices from the East and West. And she read a few stories out of that, and I was just totally enamored. And so it's on my list to go pick up at Book People.
Gorge.
And yeah, I guess that's it.
That's beautiful. Yeah, and it wouldn't be, let me just be even more stereotypical with my endless adoration for my queen, Byron yeah. Katie. just starting A Mind at Home with Itself, which is nice. Her co-author with her husband, Stephen Mitchell, Ryan's favorite translator of the Tao Te Ching. It's Byron Katie and the Diamond Sutra from Buddhism, and their interaction and similarities kind of transcendent of her awareness of it.
Nice.
Stephen Mitchell's like, yeah, that sounds like the Diamond Sutra, honey. And that's what the book is. So anyway.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Really good list, everyone. Thank you. Hopefully everybody wrote down all 13 of those, because that was really, helpful, and, just gratitude. I appreciate you guys. We're jumping off here, but, you know, it's been a pleasure, and, everything's kind of opening back up now, which, gratitude for that. There's some, you know, era transitions taking place for all five of us, and you know, just making time to get together despite everyone's you know, incredible busyness and availability you know, question marks, means a lot. And hopefully that we all kind of gain some realizations and gain some deeper understanding of these topics and connections with others. So thank you guys.
You're here. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Till next time.
See y'all.
Bye.